How many of you have ever been to a theme park? Okay, children, have you been? Yeah? And they have those rides, yeah? And when we were young, they used to call them roller coaster. Do they still use that word now, or do they all have individual names? Yeah? But you know the idea, like the roller coaster, so you're up, and you come down, and then you go up again. And don't you feel it somewhere, round about here, somewhere? That kind of... If I'd have been with Pam yesterday, and I wasn't, but if I had, if I went to Little Hampton, because we go in the summer occasionally, I want to get in the water. And you know it's all right when it's coming up to here, and then when it comes to here, is that... You know that feeling? You know that feeling? And isn't that the Easter feeling when you read the accounts of the early disciples and the women going to the tomb? And, you know, I mean, going in the sea on a really hot day is one of the most wonderful things you can do. And yet there's a sense of fear. And I want to go a little bit deeper. And I go a little bit further, and then it's kind of, oh, I don't feel safe anymore. And you come back again. And isn't that this whole Easter feeling? Everything we've read this morning has been from Luke 24 on the screen there for you. And I've just pulled out a few of the phrases that come up. He is not here, the women are told. He's not here. He has risen. When they arrived at the tomb, they found that the stone had been rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. Wouldn't that give you a roller coaster feeling? That wonderful, amazing. But in their fright, the women bowed to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen." And around our world today, thousands, millions of people are looking for the wrong thing. Or they're looking for the right thing, but they're looking in the wrong place. Well, I think actually the women were looking for the wrong thing. And if they were looking for the right thing, they were looking in the wrong place. Because actually they were looking for a dead body. And there weren't no dead body. And if they were looking for the living Lord Jesus, they were looking in the wrong place. Because he wasn't in the grave anymore. He is not here. He has risen. Well, with a story like that and an experience like that, it's hardly surprising, moving on to our next point, that when the women went to talk to the disciples, when the disciples heard it, and remember, these were men who heard it now from the women, and of course we men, we don't believe, do we? Of course we don't. And it's easy to say to the women, it sounds like nonsense. When they came back from the tomb, they told these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Let me tell you that the story, the reality that Jesus is alive, it sounds like nonsense to our world today, and it sounds like nonsense to our own hearts when we get up on Monday morning or Tuesday morning or Wednesday morning and life around us is hard. It seems like nonsense. And if at times it seems like nonsense to you, or if you're witnessing to friends at work or at school or out in the shops or wherever you are, and it seems like nonsense, don't be surprised, because it sounded like nonsense even to the disciples who had been told that Jesus would die and would come to life again. It sounded like nonsense even to the disciples who had seen Jesus raise Lazarus from the death, and it seemed like nonsense to them. And it seems like nonsense to our hard and cold hearts. And it seems like nonsense to our world. And then we get on to Claire's favorite part of the story. I remember from years ago, the walk to Emmaus. These two disciples, one of them is called Cleopas. We don't know who the other one is. They're walking. It says that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. Isn't that exactly what we do when something's happened and we can't explain it, or we're sad, or we're full of grief? We talk about it, we discuss it. And as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. Let me tell you that Jesus is very close in our world today. Those of us who have received him as our Lord and Savior, he is living inside of us. I know it sounds weird, it sounds like nonsense, but it fits the theme, right? Jesus is living inside of us. And for our world today, the people around us who we feel, how will they ever get to know Jesus? Well, Jesus is right there. He's right here. His word says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." He is knocking on the hearts of men and women and children around our world today, and even here in Great Hollands. He's knocking on doors. And the word of God says, if anyone will open the door, make Jesus welcome, Jesus will come in and will eat with that person, and that person with him. There's nothing more trusting than having a meal with people, really. You know, when you're invited to someone's home or you invite them to your home, you kind of make yourself vulnerable. How do you know if they haven't put something nasty in the food? You know? Really nasty, Mark. Not a little nasty. Or how do you know that they're not going to do bad things in your house, etc., etc.? But when... And this is the imagery. God says, if you let me in, I will come in and we'll have a meal together. And isn't it over a meal that we talk about everything and we start opening up and the barriers come down and there's a sense of, you know, we're all in this together. Jesus himself came up and he walked along with these disciples. These are people who had known Jesus and loved Jesus, and they were kept from recognizing him. How much more we ourselves at times, our hearts are cold, we're kept from recognizing Jesus. What about our world? What's the next one? Ah, then their eyes were open. Let's move on to this one. They'd walked all that way with Jesus. It says in the Bible that afterwards they said, weren't our hearts burning within us? There's something kind of weird and amazing and that Easter feeling that we're talking about, you know, that Easter feeling. But they still don't know who this guy is. And then it says they got to their destination. They went in, they were at the table. Jesus took bread. He gave thanks and he broke it and he began to give it to them. And it says here, then their eyes were opened and Jesus disappeared from their sight. Their eyes were open. That's got to be our prayer on this Easter day. Oh God, will you open our eyes as we pray for ourselves? Because so often we see the problems around us and we don't see the provider around us. We've got to be praying, God, open our eyes. And as we pray for the people around us who we invite to lunch club or barn dance or Easter party, all the things that we've started to do. Have you noticed we've started over the last few months? Actually, we're doing stuff that we've been saying for a long time. Let's do stuff. Well, we're now doing it. But people will only come to Jesus if God opens their eyes. Let's be praying for people around us that God will open their eyes. And of course, there was lots of coming and going, and that's the case with the gospel, coming and going. So these two that have now seen Jesus, their eyes have been opened, and they rush back all the way. Maybe that's a nice bit of the story. I mean, you've got all the way to Emmaus, 7 miles. Oh, it's nice to sit down at last. Oh, my feet have got blisters. No, we're going back again. Another 7 miles. And they meet with the other disciples, and it says, while they were still talking about all that had happened, Jesus stood among them, and he said to them, peace be with you. And it's timely that we asked Rob to come up, and we prayed for Sri Lanka this morning. It's timely that we remember that in this Easter story, this Easter narrative, there has always been joy mixed with fear. There's always been salvation mixed with suffering. And Jesus comes to them and says, peace be with you. In the midst of this roller coaster ride of faith, of salvation, what we call that Easter feeling, that feeling that you get when you go in the water and it takes your breath away. In the midst of that, Jesus says, peace be with you. Not only with him, not only with her, not only with them, but with you, with you, with you, with you. Reach out to Jesus and say, Jesus, I want to receive your peace. If the news that Jesus is alive, has risen, seemed like nonsense, which we've already said, then surely the news that Jesus can give peace in the midst of this world that we live in, doesn't that sound like nonsense? God can give you peace even when there's turmoil on the outside. Let's ask God to do the miracle in our hearts and give us peace, even though it sounds like nonsense. And then getting to the end of our chapter, it says here, then Jesus opened their minds so that they could understand the scriptures. And he told them, this is what is written, the Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. He opened their minds. We've already got on the screen that their eyes were opened. And we've said, let's pray that God will open our eyes. Let's ask God to open our minds too, our minds and our hearts, to see him and to welcome him. And if you want to carry on the Easter feeling, look at the very last verse there, verse 48. You are witnesses of these things. If there's one thing that makes us feel that Easter feeling, that feeling you get when you walk in the cold water, when it comes up, it's that feeling when someone says, why don't you? Why don't I talk about Jesus? Why don't I reach out to people around me with the love of God? It makes us feel that Easter feeling. What is the Easter feeling? Well, it's joy mixed with fear. Our God loves us.